In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. The mystery of the Incarnation is not just the Christmas event that's going to take place next Saturday evening over Sunday. It's something to be celebrated each day of our life. God comes to dwell among us every moment, and we only need to open our hearts to trust and welcome that incredibly precious presence. Sometimes we doubt. Sometimes we close our hearts completely to ourselves. Sometimes we fail to maintain justice and do what is right. And sometimes we don't even know what to do, and we miss an absolute moment of grace. Isaiah foretold that the Lord himself was to give us a sign. Look, the young woman is with a child, and she shall bear a son and call him Emmanuel. Isaiah is a large presence in the lives of people who live by faith in God, who submit themselves to being shaped by the word of God, and they're on the lookout for the holy. In our call to become more holy Christians, if holy ever was a pious, pastel-tinted word in our vocabularies, the Isaiah preaching quickly turns it into something absolutely blazing. Holiness is the most attractive quality, the most intense experience that we ever get in sheer life. Authentic, first-hand living life, not looked at and enjoyed from a distance. We find ourselves in the operations of God himself. Not talking about them or reading about them, but inside the operations. Holiness, then, is a furnace that transforms men and women who enter it. If Joseph is suffering, it's hard to imagine that Mary comes through all this unscathed. Because Matthew narrates his account of the Nativity from the point of view of Joseph, we get very little insight this morning from this gospel about Mary. But she likely detected the unexpected pain her pregnancy caused her betrothed, and if she sensed his intentions, she would likely have had great cause of concern for herself. And given the spare details of the Matthew account, we recognize that much of this is clearly conjecture. But let's keep in mind that it takes a visit from an angel to calm all this down and to orient Joseph to God's intention. And as angels usually get involved in the biblical story only when the heavy lifting is involved, I think it's safe to say that the months leading up to Christ's birth was not one of blissful baby shower after another, but were fraught with great anxiety and concern and flights of emotion that all of us have experienced at some times. And that, of course, is the point. We have, each of us, experienced similar upheavals. Indeed, this morning as we gather, who knows how many folks are struggling just to hold it all together while they're sitting in church. Families who struggle with discord, couples who feel disconnected, kids wondering what future they may have, and elders wondering the same thing from a different point of view. Some seek jobs, some seek relationships, and some seek any sense of acceptance of their worth. This Sunday, we get to spend some time with Joseph and Mary inside of their predicament, and they are guides for us to understand how we learn to experience God with us, Emmanuel. Mary is found to be with a child because she accepted the words of the angel Gabriel. And Joseph, her husband, is perturbed, and he just wants to dismiss her quietly. How do you react when you hear perturbing news that's given to you? I know I don't do so well. Yes, the incarnation and the virgin birth really were quite scandalous within the serene, pretty nativity that we come to know and venerate in our Advent season. This passage, though, it seems, tends to revolve around Joseph. Yet, really, it's the Holy Spirit acting both in Joseph and in Mary. Joseph wakes up, and he's absolutely convinced that God has spoken to him. He abandons all his earlier resolve to do exactly what the angel of the Lord commanded him to do. And Joseph, of course, was concerned about public disgrace and scandal. Yet, he trusted, and he was not afraid. God is about to do something wonderful. Despite the fact that according to Jewish custom and law, Mary and Joseph were running round, unexpected things, things outside convention, can often be wonderful signs that God truly is at work. And in our less than perfect Christmas plans, our dashed, unrealistic expectations, God creates something new. What begins here and what God announces is that a human being who will somehow show us to be a different type of being is going to occur. So, a question for you: have you ever had anyone save you through absolute love or through an intervention? How many times has the wisdom or love of another person absolutely shaped us anew? Here we're able to think about salvation in a different way, in humility. Humility instead of arrogance that come from pronouncements in some traditions that would have certain ones saved while others are not saved. At this point in Mary and Joseph's journey, they have no idea of the journey before them that will take the one they call Jesus from the temple to the cross and to the empty tomb. Can you imagine if Joseph had known all of this? He would have been totally overwhelmed and not able to follow through on the angel's command. So his ability to trust in God and to follow has been life-giving. Life-giving for eternity, for all of us. When God has called you to do something strange or something unexpected, have you ever been able to follow through and get out of your head and follow through? One of my favorite poets is David White, and he notes for most of us, the call is not going to come grandly. It's not going to come so biblically, but it's going to come intimately in the fact that the one you know, you have to love. These, my friends, are the small steps that God calls us to. As Mary and Joseph journeyed to the first Christmas, they did not know where God was going to take them. All they knew was that something wonderful had been promised and that they had been beckoned to follow. So too, our text this morning calls us, the folks here at Christ Church, to rise and to follow God's call for us, not clearly knowing the journey, where it's going to take us, or even the path that God has set before us. May we be confident in God's messaging through the Holy Spirit to lead us. May the incarnate one, Jesus Christ, be continually in our hearts and in our minds and in our souls to lead and direct our lives to his glory. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to make you stand without blemish in the presence of his glory with rejoicing, To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, power, and authority before all time, for now and forever. Amen.